Welcome to That's Joy, the podcast. I'm your host, Cece Colbinero, and I'll be sharing stories of miracles, God moments, and unpacking the truth behind what joy truly means. My friend, when God gives you a direct call on your life, be sure to answer it. Here's to answering my call together. You guys, welcome back to another episode of That's Joy, the podcast. I am your host, Cece, and I'm so grateful to be sitting with you here today. Y'all, today's going to be a quick, faith-sparking, spicy one. I know, that was a lot, but I just have it on my heart to just spark inspiration to build your faith. And, if you're new around here, we don't typically have every episode roll like this, but I just feel so heavy on my heart to have a solo where I talk about the goodness of God. That song recently has been really rattling just the deepest parts of my heart. There's a version that one of my good friends put out, Madison Watkins. If you don't follow her, 10 out of 10 recommend. She may or may not be an upcoming guest, but I've been listening to her version on repeat lately because it just has grounded me and it's reminded me so much of what matters most, what God has done, and what he's continuing to do. And the other night, I'm just going to dive in. So at the top of every That's Joy episode, we usually kick off with a little joyful noise. Joyful noise is just our version of good news. What are the good things that are happening? How do we highlight more of that? Honestly, this episode is my joyful noise because there's so many little stories that I'm going to try my best to just share with y'all quickly that is like the overflow of the joyful noise that's happening in real time in my life. And so let's just dive in. I wanted to start off by reading actually from the book of Genesis, and specifically because my husband and I almost said fiance, my husband and I the other night after a date night came home, and we are such grandmas and grandpas. We had a reservation for a dinner at 5:30? And then we got back by 7:15, made a cookie and some low-cal ice cream on top of it, some Ready Whip, and sat down to watch the movie Noah. And now, if you're not familiar, Noah was released back in 2014. We both had not watched it before, so we're like, you know what, let's go ahead and watch it. For those of our friends who love everything to be as biblically reflective as possible, I will share that this movie definitely does try to reach entertainment and be rooted in the Bible. So there's stuff in it that's not necessarily exactly from scripture, not in a bad way, but it's just not that if you're looking for that, you know what I mean? So we sat down, we watched that, we enjoyed it, but about halfway through, I fell asleep, and then 3/4 of the way through, Jonathan fell asleep. That's not the point. The point is that the Spirit continued to stir my heart the morning after I woke up, just remembering that first half of the movie, and honestly, remembering the story of Noah. I think so often, like Ashley shared on a previous episode, we hear about these stories from people in the past, people in the Old Testament, and we just forget what they did. And I'm no biblical theologist like Lisa Harper, but I do know that when I hear a certain story, there are certain tugs on my heart that I just know that I'm supposed to be paying attention to. And so specifically, when watching and remembering what Noah did, it drew me back to Genesis 6, verse 11. Let's start at verse 9. It's all talking all about Noah and the flood. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both of them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. 2 of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and stored away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Y'all, I forget the power of that scripture, the power of remembering that story. I just forget the faith that Noah had. The faith to believe. I mean, when you're watching this through the movie lens, it's so crazy that the people around Noah, they're just trusting him. And it isn't the most clear thing, but he knows, and it's a knowing inside of him that he can't shake, that he must build this ark. And think about it, y'all. Like, just go there for a second. If we were to turn back time, would you believe Noah if he told you, hey, I have to build this giant thing and take 2 of every kind of creature onto it with me? I'm going. Would you believe him? I think so often we have this version of Noah and the ark in our lives, with friends who share audacious dreams, with family members who talk about stepping into a new thing. It's their version of the ark, right? It's so far. It doesn't make sense right now, but they know that they have to do this thing. How often are we the people who are surrounding them with belief? And in the same breath, when you have that knowing of all knowings that you gotta do something, you gotta build your version of the ark, you gotta step out of the boat, you gotta start the podcast, you gotta start writing the book, you gotta quit the job, you gotta start the job, whatever it may be, are you listening to the nudges to build? I know that this challenged me so much in my spirit, and it reminded me of the faith that Noah had. I want to continue, friends, to have that faith no matter what. I'm telling you, there's something happening in the spirit right now that's just stirring my faith in a way that it has not been stirred in quite some time. I think there was a season of waiting that God had me in last year where I was learning, I was absorbing, and I was refining so much of my heart and mind and my overall well-being and preparing me to be a wife. And I'm so grateful for those waiting seasons because they are opportunities to praise Him in the hallway. Before the doors open, will you praise Him in the hallway? And imperfectly, I did my best to, right? That's all that we can do is try our best in those hallways. And that translates different for everyone. But for me, now I'm in a place where doors are flying open again, and I'm able to walk through them again. And I say that with full humility, but nothing but the glory to God for blessing me with the favor of these doors. And friends, I don't know if you're still waiting on your doors, but I think that I'm supposed to tell you, will you believe for it? Will you dream a little bigger for it? And will you have the faith to believe, even if people around you think that you're crazy, will you have the faith to believe that you can do it with God? That's my challenge to you. That's what's so heavy on my heart right now, because we all have our version of the ark, something that sounds crazy to the world. But we know that we know that we know that we got to do it. What is that thing? It's probably stirring right now. You're probably like, how is she coming for me? She doesn't even know me. Friends, we don't know each other personally. That could be true. But the Spirit is moving. And I have prayed before this episode that the Lord would speak to you. And so I am praying in Jesus' name right now, Lord, that you would speak through me, that if there is a friend on the other side of this podcast that is feeling a nudge so deep and so loud, God, that you would just make it apparent and make it clear that they're supposed to step out and step into whatever that is and start building, even if it doesn't make complete sense. My friends, like my immediate circles, are experiencing their own quote unquote boats being used by God right now too. And I'm looking around my closest circles and community here in Nashville, and I'm seeing my friends be blessed, and it's things that they've been waiting on. And it's just so cool to be able to testify with them and say, man, I was in your waiting season with you and God did it. He did it. Friends, if he could do it for us, he could do it for you. And it doesn't take a week, a month, or another year. It takes a moment. That moment can be today. And you don't know how long that gap is, right? Some do look like weeks. Some do look like months. Some do look like years. But I want you to not be so fixed on how long it's going to take. Instead, clear your lens with the heaven ever after perspective and saying, God, I'm chasing after you, period. However long it takes, I just want to say yes. And I want to believe and have the faith to build something so big that does not make sense to anyone around me, but it is in obedience to what you're calling me to do. I want to do that. Because when the storm comes, I know that the blessing will be there, and I will have a boat that has been built to be ready to step into the season that you're calling me to step into. Friends, it is time, it is time, it is time. I know that it's the beginning of April. Friends, it was just Easter. Happy, happy Easter. I hope it was the most blessed one for you and with your friends and with your family. And with the sacrifices that God has given us, the grace upon grace upon more grace, that is a river that flows throughout our lives that is so undeserved, but it's just the love of Jesus. What are we gonna do with all of that? Like, I have my hands out and I'm like, it's right here. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do about it? We have got to collectively say yes. The building has to happen first. In order for all of the animals to come on to this place, in order for God to be able to wash the earth with water, the ark has to be there. Noah had to listen and obey to the voice of God. And it was a moment like that that set history. And it all could happen that quickly. And I know it's not as quick as it may seem sometimes, but I do want to encourage you that there is a suddenly about God. I think that we find that word in scripture, right? Like this suddenly something happens, and it's something that we have to be paying attention to. But I think that first and foremost, before we overcomplicate anything, there's a knowing in your heart right now. If you are just brand new to your faith, I think people sometimes who are brand new to their faith are more sensitive to the nudges on their hearts than people who have been walking for years. And I don't say that to shame people who have been walking for years. I do say that because I think that as a culture, as a society, even a Christian culture and society, we can sometimes allow our traditions and what we are familiar with and become too familiar with. It's kind of dampening our faith and belief to go bigger. And bigger does not always mean in numbers and size, friends. But I'm talking just bigger in obedience, bigger from what you're currently doing right now. Don't let that word confuse you with what the world translates as that. You know in your heart what it is for you. It's different than what it is for me. And it's different than what it is for my husband and with my brothers and with my best friends. It's all different for all of us. We have got a unique calling and we need the faith to believe that God is going to help us. And if we believe, if we ask, if we pray, and if we build, it could happen. A short story that I'll elaborate more on one day when I feel like I'm ready is that last month, I've been doing this new thing, and I shared this on my Instagram stories last week, where I've just been stepping into a season of God, oh my goodness, thank you season. And oh wow, God, thank you season. I've just been captivated and in awe at what he's doing. Two part. One, my word for the year is wonder. So I don't think that that's on accident. And two, I have been so intentional at the beginning of every month so far, where I have clearly outlined goals with my business coach. I have a life and business coach and mentor that I have worked hand in hand with over these goals. And it's not complicated, friends. You don't need to hire a life and business coach. If you can, then you can afford that, and that is where you're at in life, 10 out of 10 recommend. If you can't, don't let this stop you from doing this very thing. I simply write down 5 to 7 goals that I want to march towards in this next month. And by the way, I don't hit them all, but it is nice to list out a few things. Friends, if that sounds overwhelming and too much, do 3. Okay, it doesn't have to be super structured, but set your intention, because it is the beginning of the month right now. And what are those couple of things that you want to shut your eyes and at the end of April say, gosh, I did it. And I'm a little bit closer to that thing that I said that I want to get to at the end of the year. In order for us to get to those bigger things 1 year from now, we got to backtrack them. We got to figure out, okay, if it's 1 year from now, what's the 11 month till thing that I need to do? What's the 9 months till that thing that I need to do? What's the 3 month thing that I need to do till that thing happens, right? Work our way backwards and figure out what are the smaller steps I can take to make those things happen. I started doing that. I wrote down a number. In the month of March, financially, that I wanted to start making, it made no sense. If I even told some of my closest friends and family, to some of them, I love them dearly, it may not have made sense. But I wrote it down in faith. I wrote it down in faith, and I said, God, I don't know how we're going to get there, but I'm going to write this down in faith. And I wrote it down, friends, and I am here to tell you that God has blessed me with not only reaching that number, but surpassing it. It blows my mind. And even this morning as I was journaling so that I just wouldn't forget this day and this week and this month and this season, I wanted to remember and jot down the specifics of it all. But I'm thankful that my muscle of faith has been built to a place where at the beginning of March, I wrote it down. Even though I still had fear, I wrote it down with faith. Allowing the faith to outweigh the fear And I said, I don't got to tell a ton of people. I told my business coach, and that's it. I told my business coach. And I told her in faith, and I have a Voxer recording that I sent to her where I said, I don't know how we're going to get there, but I wrote it down anyway. I have a couple ideas brewing, but we'll see what God does. And he has worked out something so creatively in a way that I never pictured for myself yet that makes perfect sense. And friends, it's even better than what I pictured. And I don't feel ready to share what it is. I just want to honor the fact that God did it and give glory to God, who is so real and hears us and sees us. His thoughts about us outnumber the grains of sand on earth, y'all. He thinks about you. He wants the best for you. Will you have the faith to believe it? Just to believe that. There's two verses that weigh heavy on my heart with this message, and it's 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith and not by sight. Friends, if I was walking by sight at the beginning of March, I would have never wrote down that financial number, because the footsteps to get there, I don't have enough CC steps on my own to get there. It would have been like saying, can you run 3 marathons this month, when I've never even ran a half? I could not have seen it myself. I had to walk by faith. I have a tattoo with my mom on my left foot. It literally says walk by faith, because I never want to forget that that is the foundation of my belief system. It is walking by faith and not by sight. The second verse is Hebrews 11:1. Spending time in Hebrews this morning, remembering that there's a great cloud of witnesses who are literally like heaven is roaring. They want us to win. But 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It is not what we see. It's not. It's all right here. So if we can just, instead of go looking out, get a mirror, look in, pray to God, ask him to uproot any unbelief in our hearts, build the seeds, sow the seeds of faith, nourish the seeds of faith in our hearts and in our lives, and allow God to grow all of it for us. He will. Well, we got to have the faith first. A mustard seed is all it takes. I pray to God this reaches someone. And I hope that it encourages you to have a little more faith. There's a certain part of this episode that you just want to hear more of. I'd love to know what it is. Clearly, I'm on fire and I just want to make this spicy and quick, because I know that y'all love these 20-minute episodes. But if there's something that you want me to go in on, I'll make a part two. Send me a text to 615-813-4813 or DM me on Instagram. Friends, you can join the Joy Corner and subscribe to my weekly newsletter in the show notes below. And if you're not following me on social yet, you can follow me at CCALBONERO. And if you've not yet subscribed, rated, or left a review for That's Joy, it'd mean the world if you went to go do that. Friends, if you've even had the smallest desire to meet the creator of the universe, or if you've already been saved but you're not really free, I want to invite you to sit at the table of plenty with me and so many others. I'm telling you, there's abundance here. There's overflow here, and there's so much joy here. I'm here to tell you that God is for you. All you have to do is invite him into your heart right now. He's waiting for you. He wants to meet with you. And friend, I'm so proud of you. If you just made this decision, I'd love to know you. Shoot me a text to that number in the show notes so I could pray for you. I love you. God loves you. And until next time, I'll talk to y'all next time. Thank you so much for being here.